You know, the thing about him is he's not going to he's not going to give up on his methods just because the team isn't doing well. He's going to stick to what he wants to do. I mean, he's going to use a different lineup every day, a different batting order every day, and he's not worried about the criticism that's going to come when the team doesn't produce results.
Hello, everyone. Good evening, good morning, or good afternoon, wherever you may be. This is Japan Forward's Sports Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Edo Devin, sports editor of Japan Forward and Sports Look. And I'm joined today by a special guest, veteran sports writer Jim Armstrong, a regular contributor to the sports pages of Japan Forward and Sports Look Online. Jim, how you doing tonight?
Hey, good. I'm doing great, Ed. It's nice to talk to you.
Jim, some of our listeners are not too familiar with your background, longtime sports writer, many, many years in Japan. Why don't you give us a brief summary of that, please?
Okay, well, I started doing this well over 20 years ago, and I've worked for various companies during that time, including the Associated Press and Kyoto News. And I've covered a variety of sports over the years, baseball, tennis, golf, soccer, sumo, whatever, you name it, I've covered it.
Where are you from, Jim? Where do you call home originally?
I'm originally from Toronto, a small town in Canada you might have heard of.
Yeah. briefly, since our discussion tonight is about baseball, what are your earliest memories of baseball, and have you followed it pretty closely over the years as a youth and as an adult?
Well, my earliest memories of baseball probably were following the Montreal Expos back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that time they had players like Warren Cromartie and Rusty Staub. That was my earliest memories of baseball. And then in Toronto, we got our own team in 77, and I became a huge Blue Jays fan. And I've always been in love with the game and enjoy watching it and covering it thoroughly.
Okay. So one of the reasons we're doing this podcast Twitter space tonight is because you've been on assignment in recent days gathering material for some baseball stories for Japan Forward and Sports Look. Tell our listeners what you've been up to and what are your general plans with some Nippon professional baseball stories.
Yeah, that's right, Ed. I just got back from 2 days in Sapporo, where I was covering Tsuyoshi Shinjo and the Nippon Ham Fighters. Just sort of having a look at Shinjo and how he's getting along with the new team. And he's, you know, the club raised a lot of eyebrows when they hired him because he's got no experience. And he's his methods are very unconventional. So I wanted to go up there and have a look and see how he's getting along and how the players are reacting to him, how mm-hmm. the fans are reacting to him, that sort of thing. And it was quite interesting. And I'm working on a story about him and some of the Nippon Ham players.
So a couple of stories are in the works for this coming week, right?
That's right. Yep. I'm also going to do a story on Kotaro Kiyomiya. He's a young kid who plays for Nippon Ham. He hit 111 home runs over 3 years in high school. That was a new record. And so he's got a lot of potential, and they're hoping for big things from him. They had Sho Nakata last year, but he had a problem when he was basically, he was accused of bullying one of his teammates. Mm-hmm. They shipped him off to Yomiuri, and now this kid, Kiyomiya, is sort of the future number four batter for them. He struggled last year, but he's off to a pretty good start this year. So there are high hopes for him, and I'm going to be doing a story on him as well.
Is Kiyomiya a second-year pro then? That's correct, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And is he a left-handed or a right-handed batter?
He's a left-handed batter.
Okay. First baseman or where's he being used?
He's an infielder, first baseman.
Right. That's what I just double checking there. Now, as a 50-year-old first-year manager, is that a really hard learning curve from your experience kind of watching managers run teams? Is Shinjo in over his head, or maybe there's a fresh voice? It might be good for a young team.
Yeah, I don't think nobody's expecting the Fighters to win the Japan Series this year. I mean, this is a team that finished second last for the last three seasons. Mm-hmm. It's a young team. So Shinjo's coming in to help usher them into a new era. But you know, the expectations are pretty low this season anyway. And, you know, so far the team they're off to a 3-12 start. So they're not, right. They're not dominating anyone. But Shinjo has repeatedly said that it's more about getting these players some experience as opposed to the wins and losses.
Yeah. You know, watching the Fighters on TV or seeing highlights or looking at photographs that appear in the newspapers, it looks like he's a pretty upbeat guy and, you know, congratulating the players for, you know, good moments in games. When you're there at the ballpark up in Sapporo, does it seem like for the entire game he's really upbeat and trying to really, you know, maintain a positive atmosphere?
Yeah, I would say that. He's a very positive, outgoing person. And he's got a good relationship with his players, a good relationship with the media. The fans love him. So he's got a really good situation. You know, at this point anyways, nobody seems to be too concerned about the results. Of course, you know, everyone wants to win. But it seems to me there's a lot of patience with the fan base and with the team management.
Okay. Now, when spring training started February 1st, Shinjo, you know, the self-proclaimed big boss, arrived on this, three-wheeled, really fancy motorbike type of, hard to even describe it. Then when they had their first game of the season, he arrived in a hovercraft. What did you see? Just like him walking around, did he have any other special devices or anything beyond the norm?
Yeah, it's pretty hard to top a hovercraft. That's something that received coverage around the world. I mean, there was CBS News tweeted that out. Fox News was interested. It was huge. People are still talking about that. Up in Sapporo. One thing he does have is he's got about a 10-foot high, what looks like a high chair, and he puts it behind home plate and he climbs a ladder up and sits on that chair.
Well, that's right.
And watches his team as they go through their pregame warmups. It's called the Big Boss Stage.
How does that benefit him from that vantage point? What's different about watching the swings or the flight of the ball? Any ideas?
Well, I guess he feels he can just get a better view of what's going on during the practice, which is kind of strange because he did say, you know, when he went on the hovercraft, he had a fear of heights. And he was worried about the thing crashing, but fortunately it didn't. But he just sits up there, and it just seems to be a good vantage point for him from where to watch his team get ready.
You talked briefly about the sort of the rapport that he has with the fans and the media and the players. How does he seem to be getting along with the other Fighters' coaches on his staff?
Yeah, I would say that the whole atmosphere seems pretty positive. He's one of these guys who can seemingly get along with everyone. But, the thing about him is he's not going to he's not going to give up on his methods just because the team isn't doing well. He's going to stick to what he wants to do. I mean, he's going to use a different lineup every day, a different batting order every day. And he's not worried about the criticism that's going to come when the team doesn't produce results.
Mm-hmm. One thing we were talking about in the sort of preparation for the show tonight is the fact that of their first entering today, their first 13 games entering today, they had been shut out 5 times. So kind of as you noticed, they were, as you were saying, they're a young team and, it takes time to be disciplined batters.
Yeah, it is. They are a young team. They lost Nakata last year, and he was a three-time Pacific League RBI leader. So when you take a bat like that out of your lineup, that's a pretty big vacancy right there. But they're young hitters. They've got a lot to learn. But it's a real work in progress. I mean, today, Kiyomiya hit a nice double to drive in a run.
Mm-hmm.
And then he promptly got picked off on second base. And so that's sort of symbolic of what this team is like. Mm-hmm. They've got potential, but, they're going to make mistakes.
When you think about this team and the way the fans are sort of, following them and cheering for them, what might seem different about early in the year with Big Boss's manager versus any other team with any other manager?
Well, I think the big difference is that he's putting, his batting order is different every day, basically. I think that's different from most every other team.
Mm.
The way he uses his pitchers is different from a lot of other teams. But I mean, he's just sort of taking a look under the hood and seeing what he has and giving these players a chance to try different things and see if they can accept the responsibility.
Okay. A question that is connected by the answers that you'll give. When you were up in Hokkaido at Sapporo Dome the past couple of days, did you have any memorable comments from players and fans that you could summarize just basically what they said about Shinjo?
Yeah, I talked to one fan who he told me that last year when the team got rid of Nakata and hired Shinjo,
mm-hmm.
that's when he decided that he was going to follow the team. Because he liked both of those moves, and he said that made him interested in the team and made him committed to watching the team every day because he wants to see how this young team can develop over the course of the season.
Mm-hmm. So patience and also just a lot of juggling and a lot of a lot of changes day to day, week to week are sort of helping Shinjo figure out maybe the best combinations.
That's right. And he was asked about, which managers have influenced the way he's dealing with this new team. Mm-hmm. And he talked about Dusty Baker and Bobby Valentine.
Okay.
And, Dusty Baker had a very established team in San Francisco when Shinjo was there.
Right.
So Baker would more or less use the same lineup every day. And then when Shinjo was in New York with Bobby, it was kind of a younger team and Valentine was more willing to try new things. And so Shinjo said that right now his style of managing resembles Bobby Valentine more than a guy like Dusty Baker. It's all about, how you deal with a young team that mm-hmm. has yet to mature. This is not a team of stars, that's for mm-hmm. sure.
Does he seem to do more individual communicating or more like a big group, like trying to coach them one-on-one or How do you kind of see him handling the way he works with the players?
He, you know, he's very hands-on. You know, during the pregame warmups, he's out in the outfield shagging fly balls, just like he used to as a player. He goes up and he's talking to the players individually. So I get the impression it's a very casual, relaxed atmosphere on that team.
You know, to me, it's I can't think of another manager off the top of my head who would be shagging fly balls or being in the outfield during drills.
I actually think Shinjo wants to pick up a bat and start playing again, but the management probably won't let him.
Well, at age 50, he would be the oldest player in the league. That's for sure.
Yeah. And he looks like he could play. I mean, he's fit. He hasn't put on any weight. He looks good. He probably could take a few hacks up there.
So as a general point, what was enjoyable and most interesting about following the Fighters up in Hokkaido for a couple of days without the day-to-day pressure of, you know, big deadlines, but more as a kind of magazine style or more feature driven coverage?
Well, it was great for me. I mean, this was the first time I had gone out to a ballpark probably in over 2 years because of COVID. So it was nice to get out back to the park and, I got to see some sports writers I haven't seen in years. There still are quite a few restrictions. The media is not allowed on the field. So you have to, we actually had to stand in the stands and the players would come over and talk to us through the net.
Right.
But it was great to get out and get to the ballpark and catch up with what I think is one of the most interesting stories in Japanese baseball this year.
Did you get a chance to gather any comments from anybody on the Rakuten Eagles about Shinjo this year, or people from other teams around the league?
I didn't get to talk to the Rakuten players. Again, it's very hard to talk to the players. But, you know, there have been people in Japanese baseball have been commenting on Shinjo. There's been some criticism from sort of the old guard of Japanese baseball. Hiromitsu Ochiai, former Chunichi Dragons manager, was quite critical of Shinjo when he went on NHK, making comments that he didn't understand what Shinjo was trying to do. So I think, you know, there are going to be people around Japanese baseball who sort of look at Shinjo and don't really take him seriously because of all the off-field things that he does. But my impression when I went up there was, you know, this, I mean, he's taking this job very seriously. And he's not just about publicity stunts and so on. He's a serious manager.
On a related point, how would you basically summarize the team's pitching staff? Is it solid? Is it below average? What can we expect from the Fighters pitching this year?
I mean, they basically have two really bona fide starters. But it's not a deep pitching staff by any means. And they brought an American guy over. His last name is Gant. I can't recall his first name right now. For some reason, he hasn't pitched this year. There's rumors that he may be injured. The team is not commenting on his status. But having, you know, his arm in the rotation would be a huge bonus. And I think if he gets healthy and he can take a regular spot in the rotation, that'll be a huge help for Shinjo.
Yeah. You know, I think this year is an interesting test for the team in building for the future and also building for the momentum with their new ballpark that opens up next year.
Yes, that's right. I think that's next year is going to be a huge year for them. I got to see the new ballpark. We drove by it. Well, actually, I was on the train, and you go by it when you're riding in on the train from the airport, and it looks beautiful. It's a retractable roof, similar to Safeco Field in Seattle, mm-hmm. or you know, the several other ballparks in the major leagues that have retractable roofs. And so it'll be nice. I mean, the people will be able to see the team outdoors the way it's meant to be.
Okay. Jim, one final question for you tonight. What is the first word that comes to mind to describe Tsuyoshi Shinjo?
Flamboyant.
Okay. Well, I think that's a good answer. And I want to thank you for joining me on the podcast tonight.
Okay, Ed, it was great talking to you, and I look forward to writing more about Shinjo and the fighters.